A headache, Peter thought as he lay in bed with one arm thrown over his eyes, is something you have to experience to understand. No one can describe a headache to someone who has never had one. He rolled to one side and reached for the little spiral notebook on his night table. Peter's mother had gotten headaches for as long as he could remember. They sometimes lasted for days, during which she sat in the red chair next to the pull-out couch where his parents slept. She didn't eat or laugh or make the proper supper she otherwise insisted upon. She hardly got up at all. "She's gone away again," his father would say. "But she'll be back. It happened maybe twice a year." Everyone said how much Peter was like his mother. Their skin that was nearly paper white, their all-over freckles, their wavy hair, hers dark, his blonde like his father's. Even the way they sneezed, always twice, and laughed, very quietly, after one loud sort of bark. So Peter had always assumed that, like his mother, he would get headaches one day, and that when he did, they would be headaches just like hers. Peter paged through the worn notebook. It had his friends' phone numbers in it, and the names of some video games he wanted if his parents ever let him get a video game, and the address of a company in Oregon that sold old radio parts for almost no money, and a bunch of other things. He flipped to the inside back cover, where he had made a series of slashes. Just after his 12th birthday, Peter's mother began asking him whether he had a headache. She had never asked him that before, and he couldn't help thinking it was strange she had to ask at all. Wouldn't it be obvious when he had a headache? Wouldn't he, too, sit in the living room and never smile or get hungry? But she kept asking, every week or two, always smiling carefully, as if she were expecting bad news. So they waited, together. Peter got his first headache a few months later. He knew right away what it was, and three things surprised him about it. First, it lasted only a few hours. Second, although it hurt some, he was able to eat the same salt and vinegar potato chips he bought after school every day. Third, he didn't tell his mother about it. The only person he told was Miles. He and Miles had been in the same class every year since kindergarten. They knew everything about each other. For instance, Peter knew that Miles only pretended to hate the two stepsisters who lived uptown with Miles's father and stepmother. The truth was that Miles liked them, and that he liked his Monday and Friday nights at his dad's. He liked how the apartment was full of life, with friends coming and going and teasing at dinner, and the way they always ate oranges and popcorn while they watched TV together. And Miles knew that Peter was afraid to tell his mother about his first headache because it had brought him a little closer to knowing what he had already half known for years, that his mother's headaches were not headaches at all, but something else entirely. Something she didn't want to talk about, something like sadness. Then Peter had more headaches. He took the stub of a pencil from where he had wedged it into the spiral of his little notebook and made a mark next to the others. He counted to himself, slowly. His 9th. In a month. He replaced the notebook on the table and rolled over so he could look through the skylight next to his bed. Peter's family lived in two rooms, if you counted the kitchen, but not the bathroom. His parents were shown the apartment by mistake. The university where his father taught had it down as a two-bedroom, but his mother had loved it on sight for its high, slanted ceiling and its enormous skylights, saying she wanted to sleep under the stars, even if you couldn't make them out very well in the city. So they had taken it and made adjustments. One of the adjustments was the pull-out couch his parents used for a bed. Peter's loft was another. The loft was a high, carpeted platform that stretched across one end of the living room. Peter's mother always described the living room as, thankfully, rather enormous. Although it was without doubt an uncommon room, Peter's loft held what his father would call the usual artifacts. Along with the bed, the desk, and the bookcase, there were three shoeboxes packed with baseball cards, a few stuffed animals, and a collection of old radios, most of which Peter had rebuilt himself, or tried to.